With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
And we are coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. It's the Ken Carmen Show on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Send the tweet, send the hot take, at Ken Carmen, C-A-R-M-A-N. Just had the great Aaron Schatz on, talking about, good God, Baker Mayfield could be the best rookie out there. He was taken number one overall, right? So I would assume, or you would assume, either way. We'll get to that coming up, I promise. I want to bring in Stopski. I want to bring in Ike. Boys, hello.
Yo.
I'm going to get up to the Hall of Fame here, I promise, as well as Yippee-ki-yay should replace Ho-Ho-Ho. That's all coming up. Are you guys, now, I Stopski knows. I don't think Ike knows. I was in Buffalo this weekend. Did I tell you about this, Ike?
No.
Okay, I was in Buffalo this weekend. I had a wedding to go to up in Buffalo. Had a wonderful time. I mean, it's been a while since I've been to Buffalo. I used to go there about once a year because of college sports, Akron, Buffalo, that whole thing. So, and I've always enjoyed it. I got pulled over in Hamburg, New York, and still enjoyed it. I didn't get a ticket. Had to go to another call. Hopefully nothing terrible happened to that other call, but, you know, it was my province. Either way, I did have a great time in Western New York, and I've always had a pretty good time in Western New York, whether it be Buffalo or Chautauqua. I haven't been to Buffalo in quite some time, though. But I was at Friday. We were there Friday and Saturday night. And I got to throw a scenario by you guys. So we're sitting there. We ended up going to dinner at this one place I don't want to mention. It was kind of... we got one in Cleveland, so I don't know why we went to one in Buffalo. I wanted to go to, like, Buffalo places that aren't the same as Cleveland. I've been to the one of this place in Cleveland, and, you know, it's whatever.
Chipotle?
No, shut up. Chipotle. We went to a Cracker Barrel. And, you know, no, I'm kidding. So, and it was fine. It was fine, but I wanted to try something different. So we all pile in the car. We pile in the Uber. And somebody had the idea of going to a place called Alley Cat's. Which is, or I should say, the Alley Cat, which is in the Allentown area of Buffalo. So we go there, proceed to turn up for the rest of the night. Now, it's me and my wife, and again, we are washed people, or older people, I should say, in the 30s plus, in a bar full of young people. So let me tell you the scenario, okay, Ike, you ready?
Let's do it.
Stopski, you hear this too, you might want to take notes.
All right.
So it's my wife and I, early 30s. It is my wife's cousin and his wife, which are also early 30s. My wife's cousin, Tim, who's 35. He's single. He's the one you got to pay attention to. And then there's her aunt and uncle, which are, I want to say, late 40s. I don't want to upset anybody. But so we're a little bit older for the crowd that's there. The crowd that was there was, I would say, 21 to 30. So we might have been a little bit older. Just depending on just the demographics. So we're sitting there at a table. We're sitting there at this booth. The booth's like right in the middle of the bar. And it's my wife gets up to go to the bathroom and to go get more drinks. You guys following along so far?
Yep.
Okay, because I'm hearing a reverb. I want to make sure I had you guys. Okay, well, now we're good. So she gets up to go to the bathroom. When my wife goes to the bathroom, it is then just me sitting in one spot by myself on one side of the bar and three other people on the other side of the booth there at the bar. These two girls come up. One girl starts talking to Tim. Tim is the other single guy there. The other one, I'm sitting there at the booth, starts chatting me up. And I'm trying to be fun. I'm trying to be gregarious or whatever. Then my wife shows up. And I look over and I see her cousin and his wife. They were looking at me like, oh my God. And I'm like, I didn't really realize anything. I go, oh, this is my wife, Liz. You know, she sits down. She goes, oh, you're married. I says, yeah. Oh, this, I don't wear this ring for decoration here. I mean, you can see it. I talk with my hands all the time. And then Liz's like, yeah, we got, and like Liz and her just hit it off because my Lizzie is a very social butterfly. But it started to dawn on me for a second because I said, you know, Tim, right across the way there, he's single. And she goes, well, my friend's single too. And it's been a long time since my friend and I were single at the same time. And it didn't register then. It really registered the next day. And I wanted to throw this by you guys because it's been bothering me all day and I didn't want to bring this up. It bothered me yesterday as the wedding went on and took place, and it actually bothered me today. So I'm going to throw it to you two. Are you guys familiar with the term of jumping on a grenade, which is a terrible term that we don't want to use? It's almost misogynistic, but still.
Yes.
You were with the term? Yes. Taking one for the team, wingmen type stuff, going after the mother hen, that type of thing. You are familiar with that, Ike. Stopski, are you?
Yes, I am.
Was I the grenade in this scenario?
100%.
Ike?
Yeah. I don't know. Because you're an intelligent guy. Maybe she saw you, that you had a good body language. We don't know exactly which one of the girls is conceding less. Like, which one is...
Well, Tim looks like Sean Penn.
I don't want you to knock yourself, is what I'm saying.
Well, okay, that's fair, but let's cut right down to it right now. You're not saying no.
Can you describe Tim?
And Tim's face looks like Sean Penn. It is really an uncanny resemblance to that of Sean Penn. The hair, for the most part, is the same as Sean Penn. I'm serious.
That's pretty good.
Yes. I mean, if I got, he's on Twitter. I can have you look it up. Okay, you ready?
Okay.
Just go to TWill86. Oh, wait, his picture isn't there. You're not going to see it. He doesn't look, he looks like Sean Penn. You're going to have to take my word for it, okay? And
are we talking
just,
about Gangster Squad Sean Penn or stoner high school kid Sean Penn?
You know, it depends on the time of day. A little bit of A, a little bit of column B. That type of thing, you know? But he's a good dude. Tim's a good dude. And I really do like Tim a whole bunch, so it's always fun to get to talk to Tim. And so we spent a whole weekend together, and then I kind of realized later on, the next morning, when they're like, hey, yeah, the girl, and I'm like, yeah, I was sitting there next to Liz, and I go, oh my God, I think I was the grenade. And I go, geez.
How you doing, though?
Because she goes, you're married. I went, yeah, I've been married 7 years, almost 7 years, coming up on August 19th.
I would take that as a compliment, though. That means she kind of was into you?
I think she was kind of... Well, wait a minute now.
Or she couldn't believe it.
Couldn't believe what? That I was married?
Well,
because I'm such a pig?
Oh!
No, wait a minute. I was dressed well. I don't dress myself. Liz makes sure I wear what I need to wear out and about, because I have no color coordination. I'll always admit that. Well, now I think I could put something together, but it's been years. You understand what I'm saying? So I can look okay. So it wasn't like I was slovenly. It wasn't that hot inside the bar whatsoever, so I wasn't sweating. Usually I'm sweating my ass off no matter where I go. And I think I ended up just being the... I can't believe I'm saying this. I think I was the grenade, you guys. And you guys are not disagreeing with me whatsoever.
Sorry, bud.
I need to be there to see the whole situation.
Stop being nice.
Jesus, hurts.
But she was into you, man. She was,
you know, as
to
a
you.
Man, there's certain things where you think you're, you know, it's like, oh man, I'm doing all these shows and getting all these great things, and we're doing all these great things. And then you know what? You get humbled by being the grenade.
How
for
was
your
the
cousin-in-law?
Was there a lot of eye contact? Could you tell like that she was warm towards you? Like, how was it? Do you
feel
that?
She was very nice, but I was a little dusty in there. I was, you know. I had one or a dozen, so it didn't really, you know, it didn't really matter. No, I wasn't like falling away, anything like that. But you know me, and you know, like I like to go around with a drink every now and then. So yeah, I certainly was Ubering on Friday night. Okay, does that make? I don't think that makes a difference, though. I don't think that makes a damn bit of difference.
No, I'm sure you can.
I mean,
let's be honest here.
Let's be serious about this. Just tell me what I was, and I will pick up the pieces of my really damaged ego, and I'll move on.
I think you're a really smart guy, and I think you were
Oh, God.
You excelled as a wingman.
Listen to you. Shut up and just tell me.
The grenade is harsh, man. The grenade brings nothing to
the table. But if it's true, it's true. And the thing is I swear to God I wasn't. There was no, like. And she goes, oh, my God, you're married. I was like, yeah, I wasn't, like, flirting with you or anything.
You could take that two ways, like, oh, dang, you're taken, or,
I think
how
that,
the hell did you get married?
Yeah, I think basically, and here we go, now people are sending me pig emojis. I got somebody saying that she was a female chubby chaser.
Ouch.
Yeah, this is what it is. This is what my life has become. Because it's like, oh, yeah, very nice. No, she didn't come to me with the intentions, which was weird because I'm a guy. So I'm not going to get in the way of her friend talking to my buddy Tim. I don't care.
Right.
So that one kind of threw me up. Maybe she was just bored and wanted to. I hope that's the one. I really hope I'm not the grenade here. God, this is depressing.
Well, why is she telling you that she's single? Her friends haven't been single in a while. Like, maybe.
She said they were single at the same time. And I'm like, yeah, but I like you. You're really nice. Why don't you set up with her, with him, with Timmy?
I don't know many girls that will jump on a grenade for another girl. Usually it's a guy term. But
yeah.
I really would believe that at least 51% she was into you.
I've seen it.
Stopski, you're the one who's married here. Well, I guess Ike is in some weird way. Stopski.
Yes.
Ike's married by, like, Carney rules. I can't say that he's married right now.
In the Lord's eyes.
Yeah, okay. Yes. Stopski?
Yeah.
What's you? What say you? Here, you're the final verdict, and then I got to move on. Because it comes from the Buffalo scenario.
As a married, chubby man with also single friends, you were the grenade. I'm sorry, friend.
Oh, man, I feel bad about myself now. I don't feel bad enough to not get Taco Bell after the show, so I guess I still don't feel that bad, but yeah, I don't
one
feel
less
good
crumb
about myself. Yeah. Also, you know, I just burnt my mouth on coffee, so that's not got a good feeling anyway. All right, now that I'm done depressing the hell out of everybody out there, get to the point that I wanted to make. Now, I was in Buffalo, and even beside that, which, man, that's depressing. I had a great time. The people in Buffalo are wonderful people. And the thing is that I already have a premonition that the people in Buffalo are wonderful people. If you think that the people that you're about to be around are going to be fun, 9 times out of 10, they're going to be fun. It's always nice to be pleasantly surprised, but if you think you're going to be around good people, it usually helps out the situation. And being from Canton, Ohio, and having Bills fans come to my hometown and come to my area, and even being in Cleveland, they'll stop by camp and they'll go to Browns camp during that time and they'll go see that. Well, now it's kind of hard because there's rookies and you got to get like a number. But before that, there'd be Bills fans who'd show up like, hey, let's take in some camp. This is cool. That type of thing. So if you think you're going to have a good time, you usually do. And throughout my history, being from Canton, going to the Hall of Fame, going to the parade, being in the festivities, being in the parade myself. It was one of the people who handled the balloons and whatnot. At least I didn't have to follow the horses. But being in there, I've always had a very good relationship with Bills fans. I don't know if I've ever met a mean Bills fan. So I knew I was going to have a good time, and I did have a good time. And when I go down to Canton, you get flooded with these memories. And what the Hall of Fame means. And I'm always very defensive about the Hall of Fame. A couple of years ago when the ink started to coagulate on the field and some people were saying, well, that should be enough of the Hall of Fame game. Hey, you know what? Relax. It was a once-in-a-lifetime freak occurrence. I know the players don't like the Hall of Fame game that much. I know the fans go there, but it's supposed to be about the fans. It's supposed to be about the home of football, professional football in America, the birthplace of professional football. I don't think a Hall of Fame game is going to get anybody killed, and I don't think it's that big of a deal that people need to be talking about how it needs to go. And yes, that's because I'm from there, and I'm defensive about it. 100%, I'll agree with you. Definitely. If I was from Buffalo or somewhere else, maybe I'd feel differently. But I'm from Canton, and I feel very strongly for it, and I obviously always try to defend the Hall of Fame when I can, except I can't hear. But this doesn't mean that I'm taking Terrell Owens aside. Terrell Owens says a couple of months ago that he's not going to go to the Hall of Fame induction ceremony. People freak out, and for most people, rightfully so. I tried to find the other reason for it. Maybe it was a monetary situation. We heard that he's hard up and been hard up in the past. Maybe it was a situation, obviously, where he's not very thrilled with the voters. Maybe he's not even thrilled with the city. Who knows? But I'm trying to find different ways that that happens. He decides he's going to have the situation down at Tennessee Chattanooga. He's going to have his speech down at Tennessee Chattanooga. And honestly, that's fine. The reason I'm disappointed, or the reason why I might even be the slightest bit upset about Terrell Owens, is because Terrell Owens misses a golden opportunity to let us in. There are fans of T.O., not too terribly many, not as many as what could have been, but there are fans of T.O. that are going to follow him no matter what. And they're going to pay attention to him no matter what. But what Terrell Owens did is he robs himself of a golden opportunity, and then he forces negativity towards the rest of his Hall of Fame class, and the rest of the other Hall of Famers are going to be there, and even some of the fans who are going to be there. Because now Bobby Bethard and Brian Urlacher and Brian Dawkins and the guys who are in this Hall of Fame class, it's one of the first things that are going to be asked of them. And so they automatically have this major inconvenience that clouds, not totally, not rains on the parade, but does cloud a little bit of the ceremony going forward. Because for as much as it's about Terrell Owens, it's about Jerry Kramer. It's about Randy Moss. It's about those guys. And I see him and what he's done, and I want to enjoy what he's done. Terrell Owens has had a very up and down history with football fans. From the beginnings in San Francisco to the end in San Francisco to Super Bowl 39, that no matter what I say about Terrell Owens over the next 40 minutes, it doesn't take anything away from a guy who played on a broken leg, played exceedingly well, and for the way he played, yes, deserved to win that Super Bowl. The type of feeling that we had right after that, he completely ruined it afterwards. But the type of feeling we had after it, because he's never been able to get out of his own way. And a Pro Football Hall of Fame speech does mean a big difference. Go ask Charles Haley. Go ask a lot of people who had been maligned in the media, who had been maligned to fans, and use that moment as an olive branch for fans, for media, for everybody who watches football to understand their side. And that's one of the great situations that you have in that moment. And I think he robbed himself of that moment. And that's a moment that maybe he'll never get back. And if it's his own terms, it's his own terms. But I can't support what he did. But then this news that comes out this week, where the Hall of Fame's going to decide to not do any sort of reaction to him whatsoever. They're going to act basically that he isn't there. I got to tell you, I don't find that reason a good reason either. And I think tit for tat is a bad, bad, bad look to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. You're supposed to be about the glorification of the sport. You're supposed to be about the glorification of the players and those who made the sport what it is, who made professional football the glorified sport that we have right now that people absolutely love and adore and pass on their fandom through generations, and in turn pass on those players' fandom through generations. And for an organization in the Pro Football Hall of Fame that has recognized people before, there needs to be a line drawn. If we're drawing lines between the Hall of Fame and Terrell Owens, there needs to be a line drawn saying, you're mad at the voters. You shouldn't be upset with the Hall of Fame. You shouldn't be upset with the guys who make the Hall of Fame great, who work behind the scenes. That's not what this is supposed to be about. You might be mad at the selection committee for waiting 3 years before you got in. You might be mad because Randy Moss got in on the first ballot. Some of that stuff can be justifiable. You saying that you're sitting out or you're not going to that ceremony because of the people who had to wait, I find to be garbage. Jerry Kramer waited 45 years. He'll be there with bells on in a couple of weeks. Ray Guy had to wait a long time. Art Monk, who played your position and who was a great wide receiver in his own right, certainly had to wait a long time, and too long. And they know that. But this is a weekend for the glorification of you, not a chance to take out your petty jealousies or fights with the committee. And for the Pro Football Hall of Fame to not recognize that makes me very, very sad. Because this is supposed to be an entity, an institution, that recognizes pro football. There are men in the Pro Football Hall of Fame who have not been good people, but they recognize greatness. There are men in the Pro Football Hall of Fame who have had serious problems with the law, with drugs, with themselves, with debilitating injury, with things that just don't always end in a fairy tale before and after the Hall of Fame, during their careers and after their careers. But you still recognize the greatness. You still recognize the greatness, memorialize it in bronze for eternity as you see it. This is a guy whose stats proved, his play proved, the stories, the fairy tales of how he played proved it. And instead of giving even a minute or two video introduction, a video play of what he is and what he was, I should say, on the football field and why he is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, we're going to act as if he's not even there, which in turn puts a megaphone around the entire situation. I can't defend what Terrell Owens is doing. And no, I don't think that this is any real line of demarcation. I don't think that this is some sort of crazy shot across the bow from the Pro Football Hall of Fame that says that shows that you can't do this and that future generations of players aren't going to do this. Because let's be honest with each other, for crying out loud. These are very proud men, and they can also be very vain men as well. And you're telling me guys who laid it on the line, played very, very well in a sport that they loved, who are going to be Hall of Famers, who get a weekend where they'll be with their families, and they'll be with their grandkids, and they'll be with their children, and they'll be with their wives or their girlfriends or whatever. And all these fans will be coming from wherever they're from. It's a weekend to tell them how great they are. They're really going to turn that down in the future? Really? Because of Terrell Owens? Please. Pride and egotism can be two of the same and can be hand in hand. It's a very fine line of which you walk. And I think Terrell Owens has crossed that line. That doesn't mean you cross the line on the other side. You're the Hall of Fame. You're supposed to be better. You know that there's guys who have nefarious histories that are in your halls. There's a guy who's in this class that does have a checkered past who is going into your halls. But because he's going to give a rousing speech, which will bring tears, which will leave people inspired, that makes that big of a difference? Really, that big of a difference? I have to disagree. Terrell Owens in the gutter, or Terrell Owens playing petty, that's Terrell being Terrell. That's him. He's sticking, if anything, he's sticking to who he is. You're about greatness. You're about standing in exaltation after a life's work is completed. For you to end in that petty argument, being the Hall of Fame, that's something I'm very disappointed in. 855-212-4CBS. Which side, John? We'll get to that when we come back. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Ken Carmen.
So rejoice to God Almighty for this animating contest of liberty.
On CBS Sports Radio.
Final segment of the week. Speak now, forever hold your peace. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Send the tweets at Ken Carmen, C-A-R-M-A-N. I want to bring this up real quick before we get back to the T-O stuff and end the show. Stopski.
Yeah.
I know you saw this, so be ready.
All right.
But you're going to see this coming up, the Comedy Central roast of Bruce Willis, which was filmed yesterday. The Die Hard star roasted everyone who direly needs Die Hard in the rotation of holiday movies, and their families all agree on. Quote, Die Hard is not a Christmas movie, Willis reportedly announced at the end of his closing set. This directly contradicts the view of the movie's co-screenwriter, Stephen E. D'Souza, who jokingly confirmed the film's official festiveness last year. The Willis roast will end later this month on July 29th, which will give you time to refocus on your other favorite Christmas movie, Die Hard 2. This according to Vulture.com. I don't want to do the old radio thing. I'm going to get 2 minutes and that's it. You got to make Die Hard a Christmas movie. Die Hard being a Christmas movie, Die Hard, first off, is one of the manliest movies that you could ever watch, and it's easily one of the top 50 movies that I intend on watching with my sons before they graduate high school. Die Hard is a telltale of coming home for the holidays, being with your family for the holidays, someone trying to ruin that holiday, someone trying to kill you over ruining that holiday, which some of our very favorite Christmas tales are based on that very fear. If George C. Scott, who's Ebenezer Scrooge, isn't afraid of dying and not afraid of spending an eternity in some Christmas-style hell, well, I guess there's no fear, and I guess old Ebenezer Scrooge is just still being a Scrooge, and Tiny Tim is about to die a sad death.
Yippee-ki-yay.
And tell me among you, now that this debate has really spurred, and I'm not going to take calls on, I swear to God, I just wanted to make this mention, How much better has it been over the last 5 years since this debate has really taken over? To walk in through the door with a Santa cap on, maybe your dad drove, or maybe your wife drove, or somebody else. You walk in, and maybe you already got a little bit of Christmas cheer in you, and you look at the family with Christmas gifts in hand, and you say, yippee-ki-yay, you know the rest.
Yippee-ki-yay,
that's not a Christmas movie. Hans Gruber, what does he say?
Ho, ho, ho.
He didn't say, have a hoppy Easter. He didn't say any... nice 4th of July you guys have here. I'm going to take it away because I'm Hans Gruber. Nope. Tell him what they said. Show me what they said, Stopsky.
Ho, ho, ho.
I mean, good God. He might as well have been the heat miser right there. My parents, your parents, they had the weirdly animated Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. You and I have been blessed by Die Hard being a Christmas movie. And while Bruce Willis can say whatever he wants, what do we always remember about the holiday?
Yippee-ki-yay,
that, and we hold it in our hearts. The spirit of Christmas, the spirit of the holidays are held in our hearts.
Ho, ho.
So I don't care what you got to say, Bruce Willis, at the end of your rant. I don't care what you had to say at the end of the Comedy Central roast. Die Hard is a warm tale of a man trying to go home to see his family and another man bent on world domination trying to take him away from that. And yes, it is a Christmas movie. Moving on. 855-212-4CBS. All right, let's get back to it. The whole thing about T.O. I'm not defending T.O. I shouldn't be surprised. T.O.'s acting like an ass, and this is an ass thing to do. So, yes, I shouldn't be surprised that he's an ass. But I am surprised that the Hall of Fame is acting the way it is, because if we're doing this and we're supposed to be about the glorification of the player, there are guys in the Hall of Fame who have done way worse things than Terrell Owens. Let's be serious here. Or have been alleged to have done way... I should say it this way when I'm bringing up you-know-who... who have been alleged to have done way worse things than Terrell Owens, O.J. Simpson. If we're going to do the whole Ray Lewis thing, remember, a plea deal is not an admission of innocence, is not the premonition of innocence by the court of law, it's a plea deal. But Ray Lewis is going to go up there and give a speech, and everybody's going to love him. So just because he won't come, I just don't think you should stoop to his level. You're the Pro Football Hall of Fame. You should hold yourself in a higher regard. I hold you in a higher regard. You're the very best of the very best. And because I have warm memories of Browns fans around me watching John Elway, and I'll never forget this, Browns fans around me watching John Elway as he passes in the motorcade with the Pro Football Hall of Fame parade, and my late great buddy's dad, Mark, who passed away just a couple of years ago, who is maybe the biggest Browns fan I've ever seen in my entire life, stands up in the back of his truck, says, you know what, I hate this guy's guts, but he was a hell of a football player. And even though it's a parade, and even though it's about 9 in the morning, and yes, people had already been imbibing, it meant something to him as a big-ass Browns fan, as a guy who lived and died that moment, who at that moment didn't believe he would ever get to see it, and sadly will never get to see that team come back. For that, that meant something. That he realized the greatness that was John Elway and gave him his moment. T.O. has robbed not you, not the Hall of Fame. He's robbed himself of that moment. 855-212-4CBS. Jeff in Cleveland. Jeff, you're next up on CBS Sports Radio.
Hi, Ken. You're exactly right. I've heard T.O.'s messing it up from himself. It's like I hear people saying one day he's going to look down and want to say, man, I could have spoke, because they're not even going to mention his name there. But you know what I think the real problem is? T.O. doesn't have any money. And I've heard former Hall of Famers talk about the money that they spent to bring family in, have hotels for their families. And so I just really think that T.O. is too proudful to admit. He doesn't have the money, Ken, to bring all the family there.
Well, Jeff, that might be a possibility, okay? I'm not saying you're wrong because he did lose the $70 million he made during his career. That's been documented here. But I also think he's losing out on an opportunity for his future and whether or not to get other opportunities from endorsements, which he's done. He's done big, lucrative endorsements in the past. And this is a guy who's been very, very talented. And Jeff, come on. You and I talked so many times about this type of stuff. Is he not the type of person that people do want to like? That's half the reason people can't stand him. They want to like Terrell Owens.
But you know what, Ken? I'm not mad at the Hall for ignoring him. He's not there, and he hasn't passed away. So, and I heard Bobby Bethel, I guess, is having, like, dementia, so they're going to have, like, video for him or something. But Terrell Owens is living, and he's just acting up. He's trying to be the only one who turns it down to make himself famous, and it's hurting him.
And in the long term, maybe Jeff. Jeff, I don't feel bad. I mean, you have an opportunity here.
I like T.O. somewhat, and I just wish every time I see him, sometimes cry about his grandmother and stuff. I can feel like if you look at him in the interview, you can tell he got some hurting in his heart. You know,
obviously, he did have. We do know it's documented about he had a very strict upbringing, which might have had some.
Listen, Ken, the one story that's the greatest is the little girl across the street from him growing up he liked, and his whole life he kept finding out, why can't I be a girlfriend? Why can't I be a boyfriend? And to come to find out that was his sister. His daddy, they finally had to
say, what?
The little girl the little girl across the street from Terrell Owens when they was playing when they was kids, the reason why he couldn't be his girlfriend, they finally had to admit it to him. Your daddy had a affair with this woman, and that is your sister. So that's the Terrell Owens has a lot of broken stuff in his life, that growing up and stuff, and I feel bad for him, you know? And for him to turn this down where he could have got it. I mean, if Ray Lewis is going to be there,
well,
come on,
Jeff,
man.
Jeff, I know. Jeff, thank you for the call. Boy, you want to talk about weird Christmas parties. There you go. 855-212-4CBS.
Ho, ho, ho.
I think he's really hurting himself in the future. I think Terrell Owens is a player who has a personality that can be petty, obviously, but is also somebody that people do want to like. He's done big-time ads before. And I'm thinking that you've seen so many guys in booths. Could he do any worse than any one of those other guys? Could this open an outlet towards broadcasting for him at all? He couldn't be any worse than some of these other guys. There's guys who are really, really good at it. Guys who are surprisingly really, really good at it. Whether it be in booths or studio work, former players. Then there's guys that they can't talk their way out of a brown paper bag. You know Terrell Owens could do that. But there are long tentacles here. This is an awkward situation. You're hurting yourself for the future. It's a way to make money. And maybe he doesn't like football that much. I have no idea. I don't know how to get inside the guy's head. But he makes his decision. My fault isn't with Terrell Owens anymore. If he acts like that, that's the way Terrell Owens has always been. So he's being true to who he is. In his own weird way, and I might think it's warped, he's being true to who he is. But for the Hall of Fame, I think you need to hold yourself to a higher standard. And your higher standard is, I know that you say you're not going to be here and you're not going to recognize us, but you were still voted in, and it don't work out that way, Pally. You're one of the greats, and we're going to say that you're one of the greats, and then we'll move on. Because I think now you're asking the other guys in the induction class to answer these questions all throughout the week. You're asking former guys who have been in introduction classes or in induction classes before, who are already Hall of Famers. Now they're answering the questions throughout the week. It just hangs around this entire time. 855-212-4CBS. That's Geico's toll-free number. It's brought to you by Geico here on CBS Sports Radio. By the way, good news. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. I got to try to take one more. Let me get to Greg in Dallas real quick. You got like 30 seconds, Greg. Better make it count. Go.
Hey, Ken, thanks a lot. Hey, I couldn't agree with you more on everything you've said about him being a complete jerk with this whole Hall of Fame induction, and I also agree with the way that the Hall of Fame is treating this situation by kind of more or less ignoring it at this point in time, because it is deserved. My only comment to it, above all that, is the fact that he's also a humanitarian kind of guy. Here in Dallas, he actually sponsored a kids' football camp for those who are less fortunate who couldn't actually make it, and he funded a lot of that himself.
Well,
so,
Greg, see, that's some of the stuff, and thank you for the call, that's some of the stuff that we don't get to hear enough about because all this other stuff tends to overshadow it. And if that's the truth, which I take you at your word, and it probably is the truth, then that cuts into what the good stuff that he's done. And I do think the Hall of Fame should be held in a higher regard. Thanks for listening. I'm Ken Carmen. Have a wonderful week, my friends.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.